Visit www.calljesus.net for more songs and inspirational messages from Jesus Christ. That is www.calljesus.net.
Amen. The topic saved by grace is a very controversial topic. Even though the message from God to man is very simple. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." So God's message is very simple. God, the creator of the universe, the greatest, the omnipotent, the deliverer, the one who created everything by his awesome word, so loved the world. Even we creation are still struggling to love each other. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, parents and children, children and parents. We are still trying to learn from God's love. For God so loved. When we hear the word love, you know, immediately an electric current goes through us. You know, when we hear the word faith, when we hear so many different words, there's not much emotion. But when we hear the word love, we get this emotion. For God so loved the world. Because the first thing that a baby knows when the baby is born is love. It understands the love of the mother. The mother understands the love of the baby. And we know the sacrifice that a mother makes to bring the baby into the world, the torment and the agony. But then the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." When what God is trying to tell us is, he is the greatest in the universe. He created us by his word. We're just a tiny atom speck in the universe. And we were created in his image. But God, being so vast, he could create millions of us. For example, John the Baptist tells the scribes and the Pharisees, because they were saying, you know, we are children of Abraham, so, you know, we're really important. God cannot handle it without us. And John the Baptist said, wait a minute. God can take those stones and raise up children for Abraham. So when Adam sinned, God could have destroyed Adam and started right over, started fresh. But God didn't. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." And when we focus on that verse, let's see what happened in the Garden of Eden. God said, you know, the day you eat that fruit, you'll be dead. You'll have physical death and eternal death. So what happened? Adam ate the fruit. He didn't die. His soul didn't go to hell. So what happened there? What happened there is written in the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ went to God the Father and said, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. Your word says, the soul that sinneth shall die. Your word says the wages of sin is death. I will take that sin upon me." And you know, this topic is on grace. One day someone called me on the phone and said, you know, the Bible says God cursed the woman because of the disobedience. I said, where is it written in the Bible? Show me where the Bible says God cursed the woman. And he couldn't find it. Genesis says God did not curse the woman. God cursed the serpent. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, not for everyone. If we believe and accept the grace, we will have everlasting life and we will not perish. My grace is sufficient for thee, because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in necessities, in problems, in difficulties, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Today in the world, when people look at others, they form their opinion based on the external appearance. They form their appearance their opinions based on the physical talents of the person they're looking at. And many of the people who look at others say, well, this guy is no good. What can he do? And that's where they are dead wrong. There was a little boy called David, and he knew how to play hide and seek. He knew how to play with his sheep. He knew how to climb trees, and he was a playful little boy. And one day, he saw a giant, probably 3.5 times taller than him, 6 times wider than him, probably 200 times mightier and stronger than him. But at that point, he did not look at the giant. He looked at God. The giant said, I will cut you to pieces and hang you and sell your meat for money. Maybe that's not what he said, but I just want to make it a little more lively. David said, of course, now's your chance. But before you do that, your head is going to be flying in the sky. And that made the giant mad because no little kids had messed with him. You know, when you go on the highway, you see a sign saying, don't mess with Texas. This giant had a sign on his back and he wore a t-shirt saying, don't mess with Goliath. But David was a playful boy. So he decided to mess with Goliath. He said, well, wait a minute, what's great about this guy? And so David went to pick up stones. Goliath went to sharpen his sword. All his assistants put on his armor and he screamed and hollered. It was kind of a shame because Goliath was getting ready to go fight with the little boy. And then the little boy came and Goliath screamed. He was mad because the little boy had slippers on, you know, the little Hawaii slippers that we wear maybe. Little slippers on, and in his hand he had a sling. You know what we use slings for? You know, when you go for a walk, if a dog shows up and shows its teeth, you just take a little sling and shoot him on the tail. You need to have good aim though, because otherwise you'll get bitten. And then the dog knows that you've got a weapon of mass destruction, and the dog runs away from you. So when the giant saw little David, he was mad. He said, am I a dead dog that you should come at me to throw stones? You silly boy. And little David wasn't looking at the giant. He was not listening to the giant. Now wait a minute, where was Saul? Where were all the mighty men of Israel? They had a little bomb shelter, a nuclear bomb shelter, and they were all hiding under it. No one was to be found. Because when the giant came, the Bible says, when he came west, the children of Israel also ran west. You know, the way they ran, they could have won the Olympics. That's how fast they ran when they saw the giant, because they were paralyzed with fear. But the paralysis made them run fast. And there was a little boy all alone. There was no one with him. And King Saul was looking at little David with binoculars because he didn't want to get too close lest Goliath would kill him. And then finally, little David saw the entire army of the Philistines with Goliath coming before them and with their guard made of wood and stone. And suddenly he got into the spirit. You know, my sister-in-law came and she was talking about a spiritual connection, and I found that very interesting. You know, when you spiritually connect with Jesus, it's like taking that fan. You know, you've got little spiders crawling on the fan and making cobwebs. And then suddenly you take the little plug and plug it in, and the spider says, wait a minute, what did I hear? And there goes the spider. But the fan roars and the wind comes from the fan and the temperature changes. Even so, David, little boy, got plugged into Jesus. And you know what? The giant ran towards him and the David ran towards the giant. And that little stone that he swung at the giant went straight into his forehead, sank into his head. And he fell flat on his face. Now let us remember that 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 was not written. This was 2,000, 3,000 years before 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 was written. But David knew that in advance because he was a prophet. He knew that verse that is in the Word of God. You know, today many people say, I can't do it. And USA, they say, I can handle it. And that's why we've gotten into this mess. Neither of them are correct, but Paul is correct in the Word of God. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Goliath was dead. The army of the Philistines were dead. They chased them till they ran back to their country. And David became a king. The little shepherd boy became the king of Israel later because, not because he knew how to play hide and seek, not because he knew how to kill a dog with a stone, not because he knew how to take care of the sheep, but because of this one thing. He knew this verse that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, and my grace is sufficient for thee. And you know, many people read that verse, my grace is sufficient for thee, and then they stop. But let us read the second part of that verse. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was crucified in the cross in weakness. But the Bible says that he was resurrected by the power of God. He was weak, he was dead, but the Holy Spirit came upon him on the third day, and he rose up with power and strength and might as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the first thing that happened was Lucifer and all his demons fell prostrate at his feet and worshipped him. There is a little picture that I see in the book of Leonard Ravenhill, Why Revival Tarries. And in that book, there's a picture of Paul and a picture of demons. But the most interesting thing that captivated my attention is the picture of Jesus. Paul was looking at Jesus. And the demons were looking at Paul, hiding their faces, and fell down on their faces and knelt down before Paul and worshipped him. And Paul, all the time, he didn't care how many demons worshipped him. All he cared was he was attracted and in love with Jesus. And all he could see was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the glory of Jesus shone on Paul. And he became a superman. He became a superhuman being. And at the bottom there is a footnote. I know Jesus and I know Paul. But who are you? We read in the Bible the story of David is one example. Some people think women can't do anything. Well, you need to take your hat off, take your glasses off, clean your ears, brush your teeth, have a shower, and then read the book of Esther. The book of Esther is the story of one woman who was a slave, who was a captive, and was an orphan. Didn't even have parents, and her uncle brought her up. And look at the book of Esther. She went unto the king and demanded protection for her people. And her fierceness and boldness and trust in God caused the death of Haman and of all the wicked people that wanted to wipe out the children of Israel. And now the same thing is happening in the 21st century. And the same thing that happened in the book of Esther will happen in the 21st century. God says in the book of Ezekiel, I am against thee, O God, prince of Meshech and Tubal. For you will come down with Turkey and with Persia and Lud and parts of Germany, and I will put hooks in thy jaws, and I will shoot thee back to where you came from, and you will know that I am the God of Israel. But they have to come. Israel might be a small nation. Israel might have faults. But they are the children of God. If somebody blames my son, I'm not going to listen to him and I'm not going to put up with him. Because my son or daughter may not be perfect. But who are you to talk about my son? Well, that's the attitude of a father. If there's something wrong with my son or my daughter, I will correct them in private. Now, going back to the word, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Let us focus on the second part, because this is the part that many people miss. My strength is made perfect in weakness. If you look at verse 10, Apostle Paul is saying something that is spectacular. He's saying, I will take pleasure in infirmities. Could you imagine a guy in ICU that the doctors have pronounced him having stage 4 cancer and he has like a few minutes to live? And he's saying, I thank you, Lord, for this life. I thank you, Lord, for this strength. That's what Paul is saying. I will glory in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I will glory in reproaches. I will glory in necessities. When you have a bill for $10,000 and you have $50 in the bank, that's what glorying in necessities mean. Thank you, Lord, for $50. Thank you, dollar, for the God, for the $10,000 bill. Amen. Don't thank the dollar. Thank God. That was a slip of the tongue. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Now, here's the secret. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like logic. When I am weak, then I am strong. Well, that's what happened. Goliath was strong. But he was dead and he was buried before time. Because David said, when I am weak, I am strong. So it's not the person who says he is strong, not the person who says he can do it that usually succeeds in this world, but the person who depends on that spiritual connection with Jesus Christ that plugs it all matters when you plug into the outlet on the wall. That's, you get into that spiritual connection with Jesus Christ, and then you overpower the enemy. The Bible is full of examples. We read in the book of Corinthians again, the Bible says God has, the Bible doesn't say God chose Goliath and God chose Pharaoh because they were mighty. But the Bible says God chose the weak things of this world and the foolish things of this world and the things that people didn't even think existed. Actually, what the literal 21st century translation for that is, God fished in a trash can, took the trash and converted it into treasure. If God took gold and polished it and put it in the China Hutchins, hey guys, look at it, doesn't it look beautiful? You say, well, yeah, I can do the same thing. But if he takes trash and converts into gold, that is something new, because even now, scientists have been trying to change the atomic structure of dirt to try to convert it into gold. But they haven't been successful. They're hoping they would be, and they, by the time they finish their experiments, all you will see is their skeleton, unfortunately. Because God is the only one who can do that. If He gives the wisdom to man to do that, thank God for that. All glory be to God. But God chooses the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. God chooses the poor people of this world to confound the rich. God chooses the nobody to confound those who think they are somebody. God chooses the poor to shock the rich. That is why in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews 11, you see that words out of weakness were made strong and to put to flight the armies of the aliens. The Bible is full of examples on how little men, little people, weak people, poor people did extraordinary things. But there is a secret in all this. And that secret principle is clearly outlined in the Word of God. And before we get into directly into the heart of that secret principle, let us focus a little bit on the hands of God. God's hand. Let's imagine in our mind, God's. How does God's hands look? God's hands don't look like the hand of a bear or the hand of a cow or the hand of a bug. God's hand looks like your hand because you were created in the image of God. And quit asking me, where is God? Show me. Go look at your face in the mirror. That's how God looks. Because God is your Father. God is not a monster. God is not a giant. God is similar to a normal human being because you were made in the image of God. And that is why the Bible says, King David says, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. The doctors understand probably 0.01% of how the human body was constructed. God took dirt and made it a treasure. And then breathed into us and made it superhuman when He created the soul and the spirit. And that is why this thing is important. You know, we connect with the world with our eyes and with our ears, but the only way we can connect with God is in the Spirit, because God is Spirit. My sister-in-law was saying yesterday that Jesus said a time is coming when you won't be working in you won't be worshipping in Mount Everest or Mount Nebo or Mount Ararat, but they that worship me will be worshipping me in truth and spirit. The only way we can connect with God is in the spirit. That's why we have dreams in the night. Why don't we have dreams in the day? Because our mind is too active and God wants our mind to shut up so that He can speak to us in the spirit. And dreams happen in the spirit, not in the mind. That is why the scientist who discovered the sewing machine had a dream in the night about an eye and an animal. It was mysterious, but when he got up, God explained to him the meaning of the dream with the eye, because he had invented the sewing machine, but he couldn't figure out how to invent the needle. And God showed him how to invent the needle. And so be it for the man who invented the sewing machine by the grace of God. So we focused on God's hands. And let's meditate a little bit on God's hands because they are special. Okay. This is the same hand that carried the children of Israel from Egypt and brought them and settled them in Israel. This is the same hand when we have problems in our life, as that little footprint story says, not a story but it's a real thing that happened. The same hand that carries us on our shoulders when we see only one set of footprints. This is the same hand that delivered us from the power of darkness and lifted us up. This is the same hand that I have felt so many times physically coming and blessing me and you and everyone. These are the beautiful hands, but in the center of the hands there are wound marks, because the same hand that blessed us and created us one day decided to bear nail prints. But on the day when Jesus began to ascend into heaven, these beautiful hands were lifted up And he lifted up his hands and blessed his disciples. And the same hand that was lifted up that day blessing us is blessing us today. And when the trumpet sounds, the hands of Jesus will be lifted up. His hands have not dropped down for a minute. And blessing us, he will come in the sky and we will see him coming down blessing us. Jesus was raised up to bless us. Jesus is continuing to bless us. And Jesus will come back, bless us. Now God showed his hand so many times. Why? Because God wants to give us a concept that his hands and our hands look the same, except for the nail prints. But what God wants to tell us is, in order for us to become supernatural and for order for us to do the same thing that God does, our hand has to hold his hand. So when our hand touches his hand, there will be lightning, there will be thunder, there will be a zillion volts of electricity that will go through you because your hand touched his hand. And now you can do the same things that God did. And Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the same thing that I did shall he do also, and greater things, because I go unto the Father. So the secret of my grace is sufficient for thee, or I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, or my strength is made perfect in weakness, is that our hand needs to touch God's hand, Jesus' hand. How? Simple. That little boy, his mom packed him lunch. Jesus could have done a miracle. Jesus could have created that lunch, but that's not God's principle. God created the universe by his word. He did that then. Now he doesn't create except through his children. God does not do anything independent of his children. John Wesley once said, God will do nothing today except in response to the prayer of his children. Because he's got kids. You know, I just don't go do stuff after I have kids. You know, I ask my kids, I ask my wife, and then we all discuss and then we decide. So if God is our Heavenly Father, why would we think it's any different? He's the father of the family. So Jesus said, make all people sit down. Because a miracle was about to take place. But how did Jesus know the miracle was about to take place? Because that lunch had left the hand of that little boy and had now come to the hand of Jesus. So in order for supernatural things to happen, we should hold Jesus' hand, and in simplicity, what is in our hand needs to get into the hand of Jesus. Whether it is a stock market, or whether it is a job, or whether it's a talent, or a vision, or a ministry that God has given us, nothing is going to happen until it leaves our hand and goes to the hand of Jesus. If the little boy had said, no, I love this sandwich because it's McDLT, my mom bought it in McDonald's, that's my favorite food, it would have still been a McDLT. It would have been in his hand. But that food went from the hand of the little boy to the hand of Jesus. And then it started multiplying. It started multiplying. And thousands of people ate it, and still it started multiplying in the baskets. Because they got 12 baskets full. And then came one day where the fishermen were fishing. All night they caught nothing. They couldn't get anything because they were fishermen. But the problem is, there was no fish in the sea where they were fishing. You know, Peter said, I have fished all my life and I know I can catch fish in a slab. That day challenged him because there wasn't any fish. They were, for some reason, they weren't in that location. And then Jesus came and said, Peter, put your hand in my hand and cast your net on the right side. Peter said, that's Jesus. Let me go ahead and put my hand in his hand. Putting our hand in the hand of Jesus means doing according to his word, or praying and giving it to him. And then what happened? The hand of that little boy became the hand of Jesus and fed the 5,000. You know, really, it wasn't Jesus who fed them. It was the little boy who fed them, because the little boy put that sandwich in Jesus' hand. It wasn't Peter who caught that fish that almost sank the boat, but it was Jesus' hand that started fishing. Therefore, if our hand gets into the hand of Jesus, then the miracles will start. Then we see Apostle John in the Isle of Patmos. He was talking about Patmos. And God said, come up higher. You know, God wants us to go to a higher plane, higher elevation. That's why He says, follow me. You know, sometimes we get visions and revelations that Jesus is leading us and is going towards the plane because He's the pilot. And He's telling, follow me, because Jesus is saying, I don't want you to be on this plane. Come up higher, is the message in the book of Revelation. There's a precious song that I like. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the sea. Put your hand in the hand of the man who gave his life for you and me. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Let's put our hands in the hands of the man from Galilee. And then the world is going to look for you, and you won't be here no more. Because it will be said, Shinah walked with God, and she was not, because God took her. Vaini walked with God, and she was not, because God took her. Suja walked with God, and she was not, because God took her. Gracie walked with God, and she was not, because God took her. Put your hand in the hands of Jesus, and you'll be missing. Missing in action, MIA. Because Jesus and you walked to the throne of God. May God bless these words and strengthen us, because it will truly happen.
Father, hallelujah, we thank you once again for this wonderful time that you've given us all, my Father. Hallelujah, to hear thy word, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, to know, my Father, that how wonderfully, hallelujah, beautifully you have created each one of us, my Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, help us all, my Father, that we'll remain faithful to you, my Father, and not take the blessings, our creation, Father, hallelujah, and our Creator for granted, my Lord, hallelujah, but all the talents and all the blessing that you showered upon us, my Lord, help us, Father, that we will do it, use it for thy glory and for thy kingdom, O Lord, and not to hide it under the sand, O Lord Jesus, just because we have got one talent, my Lord. Hallelujah. Some have given 5, some 10, some one, my Father. Hallelujah. Father God, help us all the talents, my Father, that we'll use it, hallelujah, and give it all for thy glory and for thy kingdom, O Lord. Hallelujah. That when we stand before you, my Father, we'll not be ashamed. Hallelujah. But Lord, we'll be given thy blessing and thy crown, O Lord Jesus. So help us all to be faithful until the end, my Lord, that we may receive the crown of life. Once again, we thank you for these words, my Father. Continue to help us to remember, Lord, and to glorify your name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lord God Almighty. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.